Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show here on Raglan Community Radio. And on the line, I've got Lani Puriri. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Folks, Lani is a sophrologist, and every time I ask her what a sophrologist is, and you've narrowed it down, now you describe it as happiness training. And even I've,
yes.
And even I can now can introduce you as doing that. But actually, why do you call it that?
We call it that because it's a state. We use meditation in sophrology to access the brain. Basically, we rest the nervous system so that we can remain in a positive space, creating serotonin and dopamine in the body. Those are the happiness hormones. And then those chemicals get pushed through, you know, through the nervous system, through the endocrine system, creating more when we're in a space of calm and happiness, or we can access our gratitude. We have a clear mind. We can think more clearly about things that we would be helpful instead of hurtful. We can be in a space of non-judgment and acceptance, you know, being able to work through our relationships with people or work through our relationships with our bodies, things like that. So when we're, yeah, so we call it happiness training just mainly because of the development of serotonin and dopamine that occurs in the brain, which then affects your body in a very helpful way.
Okay, so on the back of that, I talked to you, we got on the line this morning off the air, and you said today you want to talk about allergies. And on the back of that explanation, I was like a little bit like, oh, that's unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, because when we think of allergies, we think what do you think of? Are you a person who suffers from spring allergies?
I used to.
Okay.
And I have a daughter who does, or actually suffers from animal allergies.
Okay.
More
yeah.
Accurately. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it's certainly been part of my life for sure.
So allergies in general, like overall, we think of it as a physical strain, you know, runny nose, sneezing, itchy eyes, you know, in extreme cases of like food allergies, your throat can close up and that's very frightening. You know, and when you're allergic to other things, you can get hives on your skin, you know, all of these things are occurring. And so we think of it as a physical issue, and that we're treating the symptom that we can see or feel on the outside, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
But there are things that are happening within. So we have 11 body systems that we don't think about very often. The only one we really think about is the one that we can see, which is the integumentary system, and that's the hair, skin, and nails. So we can see that. So clearly, that's the thing we treat first, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But if we, you know, if we go and identify the underlying causes of it, and we also identify, you know, our overall health and well-being, what is happening that is causing us to have allergic reactions, and, you know, how is the body responding to that?
So we tend to think that what's happening is we've ingested something that is causing the allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we think.
Yeah. Yeah, we've exposed ourselves to something that's causing an allergic reaction, which is true. But because so the best way to deal with allergies is to have a consistent, healthy lifestyle. So helpful sleep routines, regular movement and exercise, and healthy eating habits. So before we feel defeated by that statement,
yeah,
remember that the best time to plant a fruit tree was 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
But if we've missed that opportunity, then the best time to plant the tree would be now. Right?
Yeah.
So we want to identify some healthy lifestyle strategies, because here's what's going on with the with the body. When we have a healthy lifestyle, it's important because our defenses are high. Our immune system is not having to worry so much about dealing with inflammation or some of the other issues that are going on with our bodies because of what we're doing when we don't have a healthy lifestyle. So when our defenses are down, the immune system is busy tending to inflammation in the body, working to fight off illness and disease. And those things are generally caused by improper food intake, a stagnant lifestyle, irregular sleep patterns, and stress and anxiety that is occurring in our lives on a regular basis because we're not taking care of ourselves. So when our immune system is focused on that, and then an allergic reaction occurs, the immune system has to flip and be like, oh, wait, now there's something, you know, here's a thing we have to pay attention to. And because of our emotional response to the allergy, that's another issue that we're having to deal with in the body.
So the way we respond emotionally just loads the system up further.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what happens in your experience when you have an emotional response to something? What's your reaction?
Well, it's a stressful one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's all the physical symptoms of stress. Yeah.
Yeah. An allergic reaction will hinder our sleep. It'll hinder our ability to work properly, to get through a proper work day. All of these things are going on. And so we become angry. We become stressed. We respond to the allergic reaction in a very negative way, which then heightens the cortisol levels in our body. And those cortisol levels, while they can sometimes be helpful, in this type of instance would be harmful because we're increasing cortisol, which then is increasing our reaction to stress and anxiety, which then overshadows the happiness hormones in the body and leaves us with, inflamed heads, which are already inflamed by the allergy, right?
So yes, it all does feel a bit hopeless when we describe it like that.
Right. Yeah. In order for us to be able to respond properly to reaction to allergy or really any physical ailment that you're getting in your life, just having overall strategies for health and well-being is going to enable us to approach our physical illness in a more happy, calm sort of way.
So is that something you've had to deal with, Lani?
Allergies?
Yeah.
I've had a food allergy recently. I didn't suffer with allergies throughout my life personally, but I've had to, I have six children.
Yep. So the odds are high.
Inevitably, yeah, one of them I had to deal with allergies. So yes, I've seen it occur. And I mean, so many people suffer with allergies, and I mean, we're just, surrounded by it on a regular basis. And so, so it's something that I've had to deal with in regards to a food allergy later in life I had to work through.
Yeah.
And that was more of an emotional response in my body. I went through some really traumatic stuff that happened, and then got through that and thought I was okay. And then just started eating normally like I'd always eaten throughout my life.
Yeah.
Except for because of going through the issue that I went through, it affected my digestive system, which I did not know about. And so when I just went back to normal eating routine, I was now allergic to certain, mainly gluten.
Yeah.
And so anytime I ate gluten, I would get really sick with hives and problems. So Once I worked through that, had to go off of, basically I went on an antihistamine diet, which means you pretty much can't eat anything.
Okay, it's quite restrictive, is it?
Yes, very much so.
Is that there's a big long list of every conceivable food that might have caused someone an allergy somewhere in the world, and you're left with a handful of ones that hasn't, and you start from there?
Yeah, well, so there's a lot of histamine in food. And when you know, I mean, you can go online and you can Google what you know, what foods have histamine in them and what is an antihistamine diet. And basically you just cut everything out so that you're not producing additional histamine in your body, because that's what's enforcing the allergic reaction.
Yeah.
So that's why we take antihistamines, is to decrease the level of antihistamine in the body. So if we're eating foods that are high in histamine, then that's just increasing the reaction to the allergy. So when mine was an illness in regards to a gluten issue, I just went off everything and then started reintroducing foods. And that's how I identified that it wasn't dairy.
Yeah.
It wasn't meat. You know, I got to an understanding of what it actually was, and then I just cut that out. So, but yeah, there's a lot going on in regards to allergies. And
I wanted to ask, do you find that when you were having the allergic reaction to the gluten, did it make you allergic to, like, was your system overloaded and you became potentially allergic to other things? I feel like that happens to some people, right? The system just gets overloaded.
Which is absolutely true and can happen. That did not happen to me. But, you know, when we're talking about system overload, what we're talking about is emotional overload, stress overload. So now your immune system is just trying its best to fight off what's going on. But because of your emotional response to what's happening, you're becoming more and more stressed, which makes it harder for your immune system to function and do what it needs to do. So you're lowering the abundant capacity for your immune system to be able to function. And then, yeah, that would increase more allergic reaction, allergies to other things along the way.
I want to describe what happened with me, because I actually had some success with allergies, and see if that fits in with sophrology or just fit in with the thing that I'd read. It was a book. It's an old book now. It's called Fit for Life, and I wasn't trying to get rid of allergies, but it described it, the way the body worked. This is what it said, was that for a period of the day and overnight and in the morning, your body is getting rid of stuff. This is a really non-scientific explanation, but anyway, that's the background. And so the idea was just to eat fruit up till lunchtime, which I found that was really easy to do. Not so for other family members, but, and I found once I'd been doing that for a while, I stopped being allergic to pollen. Like I used to get, like this time of year used to be really quite horrific for me. And I would really struggle, and you'd see me with red eyes and my nose running. And it hasn't, since I changed my diet to that, it just hasn't happened anymore. It's quite remarkable. I mean, I've had lots of other health problems, but that particular one, it's gone away.
That's awesome. So basically what happened is you found the magic answer for yourself.
Okay, right.
Yeah. So the thing with people, and I have clients that come to me and they're like, I know you're going to have the magic answer. And I'm like, I actually don't have the magic answer, but I can help you find the magic answer for yourself, because we're all different. Like, we all have the same 11 body systems, and, we all look similar in regards to our overall structure of our bodies, but our life experience is completely different, and we're carrying all of these memories and our DNA structure and, you know, genetic implants or trauma or whatever you want to call it, from past experience of ourselves and our ancestry. And all of that is within our body and in our brains in regards to our limbic system holding on to memory. And so our responses to life are different, and those responses are being carried, like in your case, in your digestive system, when you were totally focused on just eating fruit only in the morning, that completely altered a lot of things that are happening in your body. Our food is actually medicine. It's a medicine. When you open your fridge or you open your cupboard, that's a medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
And you can either be poisoning yourself, or you can actually be helping to increase your immune system and your body systems by eating properly and drinking properly. So for in your case, having, you know, just going straight to fruit, that was really helpful for you. And you were able to heal an allergy that was taking place in your body. So it's really important for you to have some direction, and your direction came from the book that you were reading. You know, and so that's always really helpful to find that thing that works. And I've actually heard of that book. I haven't read it yet, but I need to.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have said that it's a really good book.
Yeah, it was, I think it's helpful for people wanting to lose weight. And I can't remember why we went on to it. I wasn't overweight, but I did lose I was tiny little bit overweight, and I lost that little bit of weight, but the complete surprise was the allergies going away. Mm-hmm. And there was that thing, I think, of enabling the body, giving the body the chance to flush out all the rubbish every day was, I guess a full on fast might have had the same effect, but this is like a perpetual thing. And I've stayed that way. Like this morning I had a small slice of banana and a very small slice of apple. That's all I've had this morning.
Okay.
And I'm fine.
And that works for you, yeah.
Yeah, it works for me. But like I say, other family members found themselves feeling faint all morning trying that one. So
yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is everybody has to try their own thing. Some people are really good with a carnivore diet, where they just eat meat only.
Yeah, the keto thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's different strategies that are in place, and it's really being mindful of yourself. You know, going on a path of discovery, identifying who you are, what your values are, what would be most helpful for you, and the vision that you see for your future, and then being able to develop a relationship with your body systems so that you can then make an educated decision about, oh, what's the best option for me in regards to these situations.
And so, now you've mentioned a couple of times the 11 systems. So is this part of the philosophy or the approach of sophrology?
Yeah, the physiology of the body, understanding your anatomy and physiology, having a relationship. It's called biological values. So valuing your body enough to make the most valuable choices so that you're working with your body systems instead of against them in all areas. Like, you can be mentally saying, I don't want to do this thing, but physically you're making your body do this thing, which is a clash, right? Your body's trying to respond to your physical behavior, but also your mental behavior. And that can sometimes be the underlying issue for having autoimmune disorders, because your body's like, I don't know what to do, because your physical behavior is telling me one thing and your mental behavior is telling me another thing. And then you've got your emotions and your spiritual stuff's going on, and there's just... And so the body just, like, you know, it sort of has a breakdown because
so what's an
doesn't know what to do.
What's an example of the body doing one thing and the mind saying another, and the body system is confused?
If you are wanting to be, well, a really simple example is like, I want to lose some weight. And then you come home from work and it was a really rough day and you're just exhausted, and you, rather than reaching for an apple, you reach for the bag of chips and the soda, and you sit in your comfy chair and console yourself with this comfort food. And then after that, your digestive system is all distorted and your mind doesn't feel good. And then you start beating yourself up with words like, why did I do that? I want to, you know, I'm trying to be in a healthy space and I should have chose the apple. You start, you know, saying all of these self-defeating things to yourself. And then your stomach starts to feel yucky because we carry our emotions in our belly. And that's where 90% of your serotonin is produced.
Yeah.
And you just have an adverse reaction, which then can cause your, you know, nausea or diarrhea or, you know, these other issues, because now the body's trying to respond to the fact that you just hate, dislike what you just ate. You know,
right. So now
you're feeling nauseated.
So the food is the least of the problems. It's actually the emotional response to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you did it. You know, you made the choice. And so you, well, on one hand, you're trying to be healthy and eat better, but then you made this other choice. So it's about being aware of What do I value? What are my goals? What am I trying to achieve? What's my hopeful future? My vision for my hopeful future. And then allowing your choices to align with the thing you actually want rather than in the moment, what's going to be the most comforting.
Then that does, you use the word comforting. I mean, that sounds like comfort eating anyway, which comes back to our emotional state before any of that cascade, that disastrous cascade you described happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, you have to be very aware of these things. And that's why it's helpful to have a coach reminding you of these things. Well, actually an apple and, a couple of tablespoons of peanut butter can be a really good comfort food, because after you've eaten that apple and peanut butter, now you're going to have energy to maybe go for a walk or something, rather than feeling just like bloated and completely uncomfortable. So it's identifying in the moment, what is my most beneficial comfort food for the thing that I want to achieve later? Like, I actually want to go for a run after work, but right now I just need to sit and calm down and de-stress my body. And so what does that look like? Well, in an hour from now, I want to go for a run. So what's going to help me achieve that goal? And it's just having to go through those healthy thought patterns and identifying what's most beneficial.
That concept of a healthy comfort food, that's a pretty good one, because that's that stops that we'll call it a cascade of self-condemnation. It stops it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's and again, it's just your body's reaction to the clash between your mental and your physical. I want to be healthy, but I'm choosing this. And your body's like, what? Wait, I can't even respond to that. So you're just going to have to be thick now in your belly, because I don't know what you actually want. Your body's confused.
Okay. So, but now before I asked about the 11 systems, and I want to go back to that. I sort of want you to put it into context about sophrology, what maybe a little bit about like what sophrology is based on. Because if we went to our conventional doctor and talked about the 11 systems, they probably don't view the body that way, I'm guessing. But it's all based on the same understanding.
Yeah, well, sophrology
the same
is based...
science.
Yeah, it's actually a Western science, Eastern philosophy strategy where your identity, and that's why we look at the physiology and the anatomy of the body, because that's scientific. It's a mechanical mechanism that's allowing you to function in daily life. But then on the other side of that, you have your spiritual and emotional well-being, which is more Eastern strategy. So sophrology takes both strategies, interweaves them, and then approaches life situations like allergies in the spring to look at what's happening with you physically, what's happening with you emotionally. So one of the really important things to identify is, you get these allergies and you just go searching for an allergy medicine. Well, medications, especially over-the-counter medications, can actually worsen your mental health and cause depression. And so allergists are aware of this, but a lot of like GPs and primary care providers are not aware of this. And so if you're not going to, if you don't have a GP or a therapist that you see on a regular basis, and you just go and self-diagnose yourself and just get an antihistamine of some sort,
yeah,
it's possible you could become emotionally distraught because of the medication, which just enhances the whole situation and makes things worse. So it's really important to, use whole person strategies to understand the science and the spiritual aspect of what's going on with your body, and then to be able to approach the need in a more educated sort of way. So that's what we do. One thing I wanted to mention in regards to the spring allergies with your nose, the nasal allergies that people get, is that it has an impact on your sense of smell on your olfactory nerve. Your olfactory nerve is directly connected to your limbic system. And so when you can't smell, our sense of smell is actually our most important sense in regards to sensing danger around us, because we can smell danger coming. Or it's also a way of connecting with people around you because you can like smell the yummy food, or, you know, you smell popcorn and then you want to go to the movies with your friends, or, you know, what have you. And so when your sense of smell is blocked, you feel a sense of disconnect from people and you feel isolated. And we've talked about loneliness before in the past, where isolation can cause depression and can cause you to feel a disconnect, like you don't have a sense of belonging. So much going on in regards to our allergies that we just don't think about.
Yeah. So you lose your sense of smell. You lose our smell is, we think of as our least, our least useful sense, because we can't smell things the way like a dog can, you know, when we think we're clumsy and not very good at that. But nonetheless, it's still providing cues, and probably some of it's subconscious as well. Like you were talking about, we can smell danger coming. Like, what's that?
Well, I mean, like, for example, if you're smelling a food and it smells sour, that's dangerous.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about an aggressive person coming down the road in 5 minutes. I could smell them coming. Well, not quite like that.
I mean, you're not going to smell that type of danger unless there's a unique smell attached to that, or unless your limbic system has identified danger in regards to the smell of, you know, a person specifically. Like, you can have in your body systems a memory of that is associated with a certain scent.
Yeah.
And if that feels dangerous to you, anytime you smell that thing, it's going to feel dangerous. So this is more related to like our ancient history of protection when, you know, we used to be hiding out behind trees and the saber-toothed tiger was coming nearby. You know, that's the type of example they might use in, you know, a coach or a therapist might say, yeah, back in the day, we would have to protect ourselves from dangerous animals and, you know, things that might be coming up on us. And so we would use our sense of smell for that because we couldn't see that far, but we could smell better than we could see.
So, and if the wind's going the right way, it actually would be useful.
Now
we probably have an app that can do that for us.
Right.
Show us where the saber-toothed tigers are.
Right, exactly.
I don't know of one, but I'm guessing there's one somewhere.
Yeah.
Hey folks, we've been talking to Lani Puriri, who is a sophrologist, and we talk every few weeks and about allergies today. Did you have anything you wanted to wrap up, or was that the gist of it there?
I mean, I've kind of just bounced around all over the place and touched on everything. The main thing, though, coming back to what we started with, is the best way to deal with allergies is to create a consistent lifestyle for yourself. So making really good choices in regards to sleep routines, movement and exercise, healthy eating habits, preparing yourself, strengthening your body so that your immune system is actually, you're working with your immune system. So your immune system and you and your daily activities are balanced and you're in sync. And then you're prepared for what might come. And if allergies do come up, you are more aware of what's happening and you have a better way of managing them.
Yeah, well, it's all, I mean, for the people who really struggle at this time of year, you want to try something. You want to,
Yeah, it's hard. And so, you know, as far as the work that I do, like I use natural strategies. So using like essential oils, breathing, meditation, you know, some of these other strategies, looking at your diet. So cutting back on the histamines that you're taking into your body. Of course, if the issues are extreme, then definitely wanting to take something, but also recognizing, is this a drug that's going to cause me to feel even more depressed or more stressed?
Or sleepy. I know they used to be famous for that, but I like that piece of knowledge that food has got histamine in it anyway, and that like, because we think, you know, it's allergy season, the stuff outside of our body is getting in and getting us, but also we've got some control over how much histamine is getting into our body through the food we eat. Like, I know I was completely unaware of that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Go Google foods that are low in histamines and see what you find.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Lani, what's your website in case people want to check you out?
Sophrosolus. So Sophro spelled S-O-P-H-R-O. Sophrosolus.com. And you can also just email me, sophrosolus@gmail.com.
Okay. All right, Lani. Thanks for your time this morning.